just want to let you guys know, let the cat out of the bag. Adam and I have actually been embedded with the Bullet Club here for a while, documenting them for the next year or so for an expose that's going to be on the WWPN. They've actually given us permission to begin talking about what we've seen and the things that have been going on the Being Elite YouTube series. It's definitely a lot that's been going on. Some of the things that have happened is they've killed Adam Cole. The Young Bucks have gotten a little out of control. And in the killing of Adam Cole, Mike Knox was also killed.
Rick Knox.
Rest in peace. here we are in Tokyo, and the boys are basically have arrived, and they're ready for the first night of the G1. They basically kind of go through what their traveling woes. It's kind of hard being with the Young Bucks over there in Japan. They're always constantly getting stopped for autographs, having to go to every merchandise shop over there in Japan and signing merchandise and having to take pictures with all the different t-shirts and merch that they have. Shout outs to youngbucksmerch.com. How do you feel about traveling with them? It's kind of fun that we get to see all the pictures and stuff, but it takes about an hour to get down the street, like 5-10 minutes down the street sometimes.
Yeah, it's a little hectic. And with that hecticness comes a calm almost, because while the Bucks were away and while Cody and Hangman were all in the States and Kenny and Tama were over here and Fale competing in the G1, things have gotten a little hectic. So there's a little tension in the air. So hopefully the Bucks can come in and settle this thing down. And everybody's in for the culmination of the G1 in these last three nights here. So, hoping everything can stay calm. But, Kenny's a big player in this. So we're going to have to see where he goes. We got to keep the peace here with him and Tama.
Yeah, it was kind of nice because we settled in after all the autograph sessions and everything and got some of the great Japanese cuisine that the TGIF provides. What were your thoughts on the TGIF this time?
Oh, like you said, it's great Japanese cuisine. It's always a pleasure to travel halfway around the world for such delicacies.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I've never had a cheeseburger that's tasted like this before. It's amazing. I can't even make one that tastes like this at my house.
Well, they don't use as many hormones and antibiotics.
Oh yeah, it's a very delicious. I wish they would build one around here. I don't have one close to me. I have to go to Japan to eat TGI Fridays.
Yeah, I had one local and that closed down, so I'm pretty sure the nearest one is Japan at this point.
That's an expensive flight just to go eat some TGIF.
Well, such is life.
I guess the next morning we head over to Cody's room, myself, Nick, and Matt, and you were kind of already over there hanging out with Paige and Cody. We come in and Cody was quite pissed off. Why don't you kind of let everybody know why Cody was pissed off?
Well, the problem is that Cody has been getting a bit of heat, as we'll say, over his catchphrase that has caught on like wildfire in a dry forest. There is an unnamed stooge from the Federation that has been harassing him, and he's no longer allowed to say his catchphrase anymore. Cody, he gets a little fired up here and he goes a little off the handle, and Molly says it a few times, and we had to edit the footage to make sure that we didn't catch any flack for it. But apparently this stooge is embedded in pretty deep, because as soon as he finishes his last sentence, a note comes under the door with the Fed Up Norse logo, and they inform Cody that they're listening all the time. This doesn't make him happy. This doesn't make anybody happy. This is not good.
Oh no, it's definitely not good. I mean, that note, the cease and desist, they're always watching. I actually just got a text from Nick and Matt just now. we got to go probably PWG or one of the RA shows coming up here next. But yeah, so later on you guys came over to Kenny's room. He had actually asked me to come over to kind of document what he had going on. You know, he wouldn't really give me any details about what he was doing. I just kind of showed up in his room, and he had that Japanese girl there, and he had a camera set up, and he had a shirt that said Today's Main Event, and that's all he was wearing. He didn't have any pants on or anything, so I was a little worried. And then you guys showed up, luckily. So I was kind of glad when you guys got there.
Yeah, it was a kind of a weird situation, but you know what we're getting into at this point.
Oh yeah, I mean with Kenny and his DMs, that's anything could happen with Kenny, and I didn't know what was gonna happen or what could have happened with him, and then when you guys startled him, he tossed that girl halfway across the room.
Well, Kenny's always on edge. He's got a lot going on. You can't be sneaking up on him like that.
Yeah, we sat there and just kind of chatted about the G1, the Heartbreak Kid T-shirt that Matt was wearing, and then we kind of got into a certain disgruntled member of the Bullet Club. And as we were sitting there, Matt produced a can of Monster and proceeded to say that someone was gonna die. Kenny had a little bit of hesitations, but I guess they're wanting to get rid of the Bullet Club member that's not too happy with these guys.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, and you got to put yourself in Kenny's shoes here, is he is the de facto leader. He's the man in charge. You know, when AJ was ousted and Kenny took the reins, you know, this is, you know, it's kind of what he inherited here. But, yeah, there's a little bit of insubordination here, and, you know, he doesn't have time for it. He's got big matchups coming up. He's one of the prime players in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He doesn't have time for this shit, and that's what it boils down to. So when a problem arises, you know, the cleaner takes care of it, and that's unfortunately what we're looking at again.
Yeah, we were backstage night one of the G1 finals, and you know, Kenny was getting cold feet about wanting to kill Tama, and you know, even after Tama had been tweeting out hashtag FTE, which, you know, a lot of the guys were thinking he's trying to say fuck the Elite. But I guess later on, is when Tama was walking away after he came over and talked to us, he kind of heard him mutter forever the Elite. So maybe the guys were wrong, and he's not mad at the Elite. It's like water under the bridge. But after Tama walked away, Kenny was livid. And was definitely on board with wanting to kill Tom after that. I mean, he kind of flew into a rage. I tried to calm him down, but you know, he's not trying to listen to me. Who am I, some guy that's here documenting what they got going on? So he was hell bent, and he poured that whole thing of ricin right into that monster. And then you and Cody walked up.
Yeah, I missed it. I had to catch all that in post. But me and Cody were off, you know, chatting with some of the boys and taking a walk around, so I missed all of that, but you know, you were there, so you're speaking it.
Yeah, but I mean, what, you know, when Cody came over and asked about, you know, can you kind of thank Kenny for you know, helping Brandy? I guess Kenny may have slid into her DMs or gotten her phone number somehow. I mean, he's kind of been texting her. And Cody didn't really take too kindly because he was kind of asking her what kind of advice he was giving her, and Kenny was pretty vague about the advice that he was giving Brandy. Do you think that's kind of the tension that's been between these two guys in the ring?
Well, you know, this all started, you know, a little while ago with the Okada Omega rematch they're both my boys here, but I'm not going to comment too much. I'm just going to state the events as I saw them. And Cody came out with the towel. He was going to throw in the towel for Kenny. That caused a little tension. And then Cody got his match against Okada, and Kenny was going to throw in the towel for Cody. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if that was me, I'm not sure how kindly I'd take to somebody talking to my wife without consulting with me first. So, that's all I will comment on it.
Do you think she got a copy of the DM?
I'm sure she does. If she doesn't, then maybe I'd be concerned.
Do you think Cody may have found a copy of his DM on her phone?
Ooh. If he did, he didn't tell me. And if he told me, I couldn't tell anybody right now.
I gotcha. So I guess after night one, we're back in the back, and, you know, we're all celebrating with a nice ice-cold monster. Kenny and Tama are clinking their glasses as Kenny's got that special one, and that's intended for Tama, that's got the ricin in it. And as kind of we sit back and we drink them, you know, I really wanted to tell Tama. I was kind of torn. You know, I can't sit there and just watch somebody die. I have my own morals and stuff.
Yeah, but this is like it's like a nature documentary.
We're actually contractually obligated to pretty much go along with whatever the Young Bucks and Kenny want us to do.
Look, I mean, so I can't say we witnessed two murders already.
Yeah,
you can't just step in now. I mean, like I said, it's like a nature documentary. You can't just go out and stop the cheetah from, you know, killing the gazelle.
Oh yeah,
you just have and to just have to let it happen.
The WWP in, because then Hayes would fire me and I would be out of a job.
Yeah.
I only have two arms and enough plasma to donate. I need this.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough biz.
Oh yeah, so I guess you came and told me something very interesting that happened later that night after we got back to the hotel.
Ooh, is this the Masa incident?
Well, yeah, I think it is.
Well, you know how Cody has that kind of freakish way of being able to hear things that are like 600 yards away from him?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, it turns out that we did. Oh, Masa. Yeah, Masa stole the passport and the money.
Seriously?
Masa did it.
Oh man.
So it looks like we have a bit of a conspiracy here between, as Cody told me, Flip, the team who will not be named, and apparently now their big contact is Masa, because how else would it have gotten from Japan to the States?
So do you think he's been sponsoring those guys when they come over from the Federation? Do you think that when they come over, Masa's kind of been sponsoring them when the Bucks and Kenny aren't around?
Well, I don't know. That's a lot of speculation. I'm just going on what I was told.
I gotcha. So I guess we start the next day. You know, myself and Matt and Nick are going to go check and see if the ricin that Kenny put in his monster worked on Tama. And as we, you know, come into the room, Tama's laid out half on the floor, half on the bed. And, you know, the Nick and Matt are kind of celebrating, excited that it worked, and then they kind of turn back around when they start to see Tama stirring, and then out of nowhere, you and Cody come out from behind the curtains. I mean, like, how long have y'all guys been standing behind those curtains?
No, we were looking out the window. Yeah, Tama was really hungover, and I was called to come over and help him out, but then so we saw something outside, and we were just looking out the window.
Oh gosh, yeah. And then Cody was pretty adamant on asking us why we were there, you know, we were just coming over to check on you guys and see if y'all wanted to go get some TGI Fridays.
I mean, it was kind of, the intrusion was a bit strange. There was no knock or anything, you know. So,
well, the door was kind of left open.
And still knock. It's just courtesy. I mean, we're everybody's boys, but. You want to walk into Kenny Omega's room without knocking?
Oh, I mean, I've been in there and seen some things, haven't been let in willingly. So, yeah, you probably don't want to just barge into Kenny Omega's room. But that's a different story than kind of Tama.
Correct. Well, yeah, but still. There's a reason all these guys hang out.
Yeah, true. They're all kind of crazy, just like we are, for Hank, just going over and documenting this stuff. Matt, So later on, I'm kind of with Matt, and he kind of calls Kenny to let him know that Tama was still alive, and kind of the failed attempt on Tama's life changed the Young Bucks' heart. You know, Nick and Matt are kind of unsure about how he survived. You know, he is the son of Haku. So therein lies maybe he's just got a strong intestinal fortitude, like an iron stomach or something like that. Like he can't be hurt by something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair assessment. I don't think you could kill Haku if you tried, and I'm sure some of that, you know, being raised by him will translate through. I'm maybe a little privy to some things that you aren't at this point, but I think we'll save those for the end to reveal it.
Oh yeah, definitely. So G1 Night 2, we're backstage, and our good buddy Yujiro shows up, Tokyo Pimps. Then he kind of goes about proceeding to insult everybody, as he always does. Like, I don't know if that's just a weird culture that Japanese people have. Now, I took Japanese throughout school, growing up and everything, and I never was taught to insult people like that. Usually you bow and say like konnichiwa or konbanwa, depending on what the day it is. But this was quite odd. He said Adam Page had a small dick, that he liked the Stardust character to Cody Rhodes. He said Kenny Omega was a pedophile. He came up to me and said that I got touched by my scoutmaster. What was it that he said to you?
Yeah, he called me a fat piece of shit and was wondering why I was there.
Oh wow!
And then he told me I should probably go kill myself.
That's a
great, compliment. Great guy though. Great
I know,
guy.
Right? That's probably one of the nicest things anybody could have ever said to you.
He's so fun to be around. I miss him every time.
I was kind of sad he didn't have his ladies with him.
Well, you know, he's very protective. He only really lets you in when you're part of the entrance. He's, you know, Hangman Page every now and then, and Kenny, of course. You know, Fale, they all get in on it. But you know, we're the lowly guys.
Yeah, pretty much. Maybe in a year or two, we'll get up in status where we've been around these guys. They'll bring us back after this first kind of year of documenting them, and maybe we'll be more. Kind of like, we'll be like Marty Scurll level Bullet Club.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Then maybe we can hang with Muffin Ass.
Yes. Maybe. Hopefully we don't get Bone Soldier.
No. No, but it's always a possibility.
Or Chase Owen.
Yeah. Well, Chase, you know, Chase is a good soldier.
He is a good soldier. He is. So we're back at the hotel again. And again, for some reason, Cody's got me in his room again watching him sleep. You know, I kind of thought it was odd, but for some reason he, again, hangs out with you while he's awake and then has me watch him to basically document anything that he might say in his sleep. And, you know, nothing, he wasn't doing anything, and about maybe 3 or 4 hours in of me watching him sleep, he started muttering something like he was a rock star in London, and before I can say him, he basically screams out, "Fuck the Revival," in his sleep. And immediately his phone goes off, and there's a message. He's got two messages, basically. One's a video of Lenny Poffo talking about sucking his own dick, and the other one is a message from the WWE saying that they hear him in his sleep. And he was furious. He threw a cell phone at me. He slammed his fist up against the bed. I honestly haven't seen Cody this angry, but since he was awake, he immediately sent me out of the room. Again, because I guess I'm not allowed to be around him while he's awake. I'm not gonna understand that. But I guess later that day we were at dinner. You know, which is probably one of my favorite things about being an honorary Bullet Club member. All the sponsored dinners that we get. We don't have to worry about paying for food most of the time. I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, like Yujiro said, you are a fat piece of shit.
Yeah.
Or you like to eat.
Pretty much own it at this point. Yeah, I mean, going out to eat with the boys is always a great time. I'm still, you know, well, I'm holding out hope that maybe they'll integrate us enough to where we can get in on that Hot Topic deal. They can't even keep their shirts in stores anymore. So I know there's none around me. But
yeah,
I've
been able to find like Young Buck shirts and the Cody shirts. I'm really looking for that Villain Club shirt.
And like extra smalls too. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's where the money's at, apparently. But yeah, going out to eat is always a pleasure, especially the fine Japanese cuisine.
Oh yes, yeah. TGI Fridays. We didn't go to TGI Fridays this time. We went to some like mom and pop local shop. Usually the family that takes us out and sponsors us usually picks where we go to eat. You know, while we were there celebrating and toasting to the sponsored dinners that we have, you know, the great Masa, you know, ever since the Bullet Club's been coming over to Japan, they've gotten this relationship with this man, and he basically takes care of them. Like, he's their tour guide. He's got their back. He basically has set them up with a lot of these merchandising deals and set them up with these pro wrestling shops. You see him in almost everything that they do. So they're out celebrating Masa tonight, and out of nowhere, he just passes out into his cheesecake. And, you know, we had thought maybe it's because he had a little bit too much to drink that night. You know, it was all about Masa that night, so we were feeding him a lot of shots. Nick and Matt made sure that he had a great evening. But then we were kind of worried that he wasn't going to make sure to pay for the bill. But we just kind of got up and left anyways, and left that girl that Kenny had brought with him at the table with Masa and the check. Hopefully they got it taken care of.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you saw the Q&A that they ran before we came over, but Masa's been pissing Kenny off. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes here. Well, I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes here. Unfortunately, now we do. I happened to, while we were sitting there, I left my camera on by accident when I sat it down next to me when I sat in the booth. And I got some footage. Cody, the monster that he took, somehow kept that thing open and without spilling and poured it into Masa's drink. Masa wasn't drunk, my friend. I think he was throwing those shots behind him into the bush sitting behind him because man was poisoned. I don't know the motivation behind it, but well, I do. But he was poisoned. You know, I didn't bring this up, but I found it strange that he just went out and killed him and didn't confront him or let anybody else know what he knew. But well, it's not my place to ask.
He's the American Nightmare.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's like he kind of has his own justice that he deals out. You know, because I have to admit, they almost killed Tama. Wrongfully, it was a wrongful, harmful rib that would have happened to Tama. And luckily, Cody was vigilant enough to, I guess, save Tama. I guess he switched him out, did something like that.
Yeah, reviewing the footage, I'm wondering if he doesn't have his own motivations there. But he hasn't made me privy to anything, so I can only speculate. But I'm not going to speculate too much because, you know,
I mean, if this I is learned the first anything, episode. We don't want to get in too much trouble.
Well, if I learned anything, it's don't take an open container from anybody in Bullet Club.
No,
you're probably going to die.
No, definitely not. And so, I don't even know if I can take an open container from you, Adam.
Well, probably smart.
Yeah, especially after you've been hanging out with Cody.
No comment.
Okay, well, you know, I guess later on you and Matt were kind of walking through the arena towards the end of the evening. And you came back and told me something very funny. You wanna tell everybody what you, I guess, experienced when you were walking back through the back hallways back there?
Yeah, so we were kind of standing off to the side, and, you know, all of a sudden Matt's nose perked up like a dog. I was like, what's going on, man? And he kind of just sniffed around and was like, you know, really, I just got a whiff of the back alleys of Roppongi, which is kind of strange, but, you know, who knows with some of the people that are backstage there. So I found that to be, you know, kind of odd, but it's, you know, has he somehow adapted a super spell? Kind of like Cody's super hearing? Are these guys all superheroes and we don't know it? I don't know. It's getting a little weird.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in the temple, and I've seen some pretty crazy shit. And even covering these guys in Bullet Club, I've seen some crazy shit here too. So it wouldn't surprise me if people can carry powers outside of the temple.
Well, I haven't ventured down that road yet, but I nothing's surprising to me anymore.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's really surprising to me anymore either. So I guess that's it. Adam, you know, do you want to let everybody know where they can find you, Twitter wise, so they can follow the documentation and process that we're going through with the Bullet Club and get live updates?
Well, I've been a little Twitter quiet lately, other than pimping 205 live.
Well, it's but, kind of hard to get signal in Japan, I understand. I mean, traveling on the airplane.
Well,
and stuff.
Yeah, and I'm a really big fan of the cruiserweights, but you can find me at AJDREIB13 on Twitter.
All right, you can. I'm at Wrestling Redneck, RASSLINREDNECK. Like I said, we're documenting this journey for this expose that we're doing for the WWPN. It's going to be a great thing. We're going to put WWPN on the map with the Bullet Club. It's going to be great. You guys just keep tuning in. Adam and I will just keep bringing you what's going on with the Bullet Club on where do you think you're going. Have a good night.
Peace.